I got to experience something so beautiful the other day when I took Phoebe shopping for her prom dress. So what happened is that she's looking for a prom dress. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a special occasion formal gown as well. So it was funny because some of the sales girls were like, both of you are going back here? And I'm like, yes, I'm not being the weird mom. I really have an occasion, you know, because they would put Phoebe in a dressing room. And they would be like, you can wait out here. And I'm like, well, I have a dress, too, that I need to try on.
Are you going to prom?
It was funny. The other beautiful thing, a couple other things happened. There are brides trying on dresses in this area, too.
Okay.
The girls standing up on the platforms and the brides, the gown, and moms and grandmas are surrounding, and it's a beautiful moment. And I heard this bride start crying.
Why?
Tears of joy.
Oh, tears of joy. Okay.
When she found her dress.
She said yes to the dress?
She was like, yeah. She did. And she put her hands up. Oh, my gosh, you know. Oh, this is the one. This is what I've dreamed of. It was so cute. Mm-hmm. And there's clapping. And, you know, the owners of the store ring a bell. And it's like, oh, this is the dress. And I'm listening to all this getting dressed in the very next dressing room. Phoebe's next to me. And it's so cute because I'm hearing her go, ooh, this one's good. This green one's awesome, Mom. I can't wait to show you. I get undressed after hearing the bride thing, and I'm just smiling. I'm so smiling and hearing that. And the door flies open.
Ooh.
And the grandma walked in on me, and I was not dressed. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she slammed the door. It's like, it's okay. I'm surrounded by a bunch of women, you know.
She thought it was her granddaughter?
I don't know why she was coming into. I don't know. Maybe she was about to try something on. But she just, you know, opened the door on me, and everybody who was clapping for the bride got to see me or whatever.
No lock on the door?
No. Huh. Not in this particular one. Hmm. Anyhow, what was funny is that I needed help in a few more minutes with my zipper. And so I stuck my head out and asked her, because she felt so bad. She was so apologetic. It's like, so she ended up helping me get in and out of dresses.
Oh, the grandmother did?
Yeah, because she felt so bad walking in on me. And it was just such a fun experience. I've never been around a bride that started crying because of their dress.
Oh, that's sweet.
There's a lot going on in that.
Did you get to go stand on the podium, too?
Of course not. Oh, that's okay. A bride thing.
No bell rang?
Absolutely not.
The most fun we have is hearing from you. So reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, email, whatever's best for you.
Social media connect.
Jody, we've got an email for you from Susan.
She says, Susan.
Jody, I heard the announcement about Pickle Ranch. If you haven't ever made restaurant-style buttermilk ranch dressing and added dill weed, it's a game changer.
Cool.
It's true. I used to make ranch.
Of course you did, Sam.
Okay. I used to make ranch, but then it gets one of those things where Murphy gets into my head, and it's like, is it really worth that effort, or can you just buy it already made?
Wait, when a restaurant does homemade ranch,
there is
nothing in it to win it.
It is definitely better. Fresh is, yes.
Look, you know me. You guys have gone out to eat with me a million times. Mm-hmm. Whenever I order a salad, I always ask, is the dressing homemade? Because if it's not, I don't want it.
Sam's right, though. At home, you're like, I think I'm going to make this fresh. And you're like, yeah.
And you make it one time, and it is the best ranch we've ever eaten. Yeah. But then it's like, it's just not worth it. And yes, I do have dill weed in my pantry.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Me too.
Fresh
me too.
Dill weed?
We have.
Well, no, I guess not jar. In your pantry.
We have dill weed just because we like the name of it.
I had a neighbor come over once and say, hey, look, I have a recipe that needs dill weed, and there's nobody else in the neighborhood I would ask but you, because you probably have it.
And they were
and
right.
I said, sure enough. Hang on a second.
I'll bring your dill weed to you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, and Pickle Ranch is coming from Hidden Valley,
Hidden Valley Ranch is going to be selling pickle-flavored ranch.
Awesome.
Tina says, I heard you talking about bacon in the air fryer.
Yes, Tina.
This, in my opinion, is by far the best way to cook bacon.
Ooh.
It's crispy and not too greasy.
Ooh.
The only problem I had was the grease still gets all over the inside of the air fryer, and it's hard to get it out of the cracks. See, that's what I was worried about.
Yeah. Is there a problem with grease
everywhere.
In the cracks, though?
Well, you got that heating element right there. And if it's
I'm just worried about danger.
I bought some really nice thick-cut bacon, and I was going to do it tonight. So you know.
Atina also says, also, when I cook something else, it still smells like bacon.
Do
you think about that? Well, maybe the suggestion we got last week, or was it yesterday, we got a suggestion about putting the water in the bottom of the pan?
That was yesterday, and putting water in, it helps with the grease risk or whatever, the smoking risk.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm going to try it tonight, okay? And if you're worried, Murphy, you can just wait outside.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the worst that happens is everything else we cook for the next 3 weeks tastes like bacon.
And is there a problem there?
No. Keep it coming. We love to hear from you also on Facebook and Instagram. I got a call from my doctor's office yesterday, and I couldn't stop laughing with the questions they were asking me.
Why?
I think the girl thought I was being rude. Okay, so I haven't told you this yet, Murphy, but my MRI is scheduled.
Yeah?
I'm having my head examined.
That's why you were laughing?
Hang on. Let me say something.
No, I was laughing at the questions. So I'm having two MRIs tomorrow afternoon. You can come with me if you want. You don't have to
They're
come
with me.
They're
doing two?
Yeah, that was news to me, too.
I can't find anything the first time.
That's one of the reasons I was laughing. I couldn't wait to hear what Sam was going to say.
Yeah, all they're going to find is a reflection.
Hello?
Okay, stop. Maybe you should come with me, Sam. Okay, so, yeah, it's two. And I was like, wait, whoa. She says, well, let's schedule one at 3 and one at 3:30. And I'm like, wait, why am I having two? And your doctor ordered one on your neck and one on your brain.
Okay.
So I am having two separate MRIs.
Well, that makes sense because whatever the back of the head pain is could be coming from your neck.
Right.
Or, you know, he wants to rule out everything.
I'm having
that
some
makes sense.
Pretty crazy shooting pains in the back of my head that stop me in my tracks and they're random. So, yeah.
Well, I'd like to be able to go with you. I'm working out tomorrow.
That's fine.
At that time. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. You trying to get out of your workout?
No. No. I mean, you were so sweet to me with my MRI that
Wait,
you hung out with me.
You are claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah. I can't.
So I had to go with you to distract you, to try, and still. It was
I know. It's the first time I tried to do a closed MRI. It sounded like I was beaten on the inside of a trash can to get out.
I'm just curious. So what did you do to distract him?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, you distracted me?
I tried. It didn't work.
Hey, look over here.
It didn't work, obviously. But I was also laughing, not just at the head examined part of it and the two that I didn't know was coming, but that the questions they ask before, and they had to ask all these questions before. I guess I've rarely had anything
serious. Do you have a metal plate in your head?
Do I have a metal? Do I have any metal? Mm-hmm. Do I have a screw, a nail, bullet? Do I have fragments of anything in my body?
Do you have a screw loose?
You know, you understand why they asked
for that. That couldn't happen. I couldn't.
So MRI stands for magnetic resolution imaging. And
my arm up.
That's correct. It's a magnet. It's a big magnet. That's why I can't wear my insulin pump.
Yeah, they told me to take off all my jewelry. And I'm like, oh, that's sad. But they asked if I was claustrophobic because this is not going to be an open one. This is going to be right up in my face.
Yeah. I can't even deal with that.
You just said, no, that's Murphy.
Who's claustrophobic? 100%.
In case you missed it on the After the Show podcast yesterday, you know, Jody has an MRI.
Today.
We were talking
Two.
About... Yeah, right, exactly. One on the head, one on the neck. At the same time. Well, I mean, not at the exact same time.
No, like
right?
one is scheduled for like 3 and the other one is scheduled for 3:30.
Right.
They're two different and boy, does the medical bill say that they're two different.
You know, it surprises me. They could just slide you down for the second one. There's
That's
not
what
much
I
involved
thought
there,
too.
Right?
It's like,
you know
look how close we're really
Look, while
doing...
we're here.
Yeah, she's already strapped down. Take the picture
That's
here.
Not
take
how
the picture there.
The medical business is operated.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And by the way, and I don't think they're not actually going to strap you down, just so you know.
Yeah,
they secure your head, but they don't strap you down.
I'd be okay with being strapped.
Yeah. I know that you said yesterday that you were... Sorry, I got distracted. I know that you said yesterday that you would be okay without me being there.
Yeah.
But
you had a workout scheduled.
Right. But I kind of feel obligated. You're always my moral support at things. So I have pushed back my workout today so that I can, you know, be there for you.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be tight, so I'll be dressed up. My workout clothes.
Those shiny silver
shiny
pants.
Ones.
No, I got rid of those.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to be there. I know it's not about holding your hand or feeling like you can't do it without me. I just want to be there to support.
No, and when it comes to the sort of stuff, I am sort of independent.
You are
it's
very
weird
independent.
Like that.
Well, you can still tell me you don't want me to be there.
No, it's okay. I would love for you to come along. The only issue is I think you are more ugged out by MRIs than I am. I'm not claustrophobic. You are.
Well, that's only if I'm actually in the unit, but I'm not in the unit.
Sam's thinking
You sure watching it won't make
right.
you?
No.
Watching me strapped into a thing, you're go not into a tube.
Well, you're not strapped in, for one thing. You're not.
Well, that's what you think.
And everybody, I mean, I've seen people do MRIs before. It's not about, that's not,
okay.
that's not the association for me. Being in it is a problem.
Okay, great.
Watching it, not so much.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're coming along.
Yeah.
You gonna bring me a little snack or something?
So I'll do play-by-play with the tech, you know? I wonder if they'll let me watch the screen as it's happening.
Oh, you can see my brain.
Well, you can verify that it's there.
Okay, you don't get to come along, Sam.
Here's what's trending. Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Brought to you by eBay.
Filmmaker Ridley Scott, and I know you know that name, has brought us so much. Gutsy movies, if you will. One of his biggest, Gladiator.
Will you move your helmet and tell me your name?
My name is Gladiator.
Oh! Russell Crowe, Joaquin Phoenix, and Unforgettable.
Yeah.
Gritty movie.
It's
Here's
a good
the word.
Movie.
It is a good movie. He also made American Gangster, which is one of my favorite gangster movies.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he did that movie.
That movie takes some time. You have to have some patience with how good and leveled the story, like multi-layered the story is.
But Denzel Washington plays such an amazing gangster, mafia guy.
It's good that you bring up Denzel because they're set to work together again, Ridley Scott and Denzel Washington. Ridley wrote a part for him in the upcoming sequel to Gladiator.
Oh, wow.
And the word is Denzel is in the final stages of, you know, negotiations, figuring out how to, and it was created for him. He's excited about doing it.
Yeah.
And we're excited about seeing it.
Yeah.
Denzel
as a gladiator.
And a gladiator. Yeah, working with Ridley Scott, with the original maker of that movie. The sequel is expected to be set years after the events of the original Gladiator, which was released, how long ago do you think it was? In 2000.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Social Media Connect.
You know, we love hearing from you on Instagram and Facebook and connecting with you there. We also love to dig into your email that you send to murphysamandjody.com. And so Janine has sent one. Based on, we were talking about how, and Murphy's correct, you mentally cannot do more than one thing at a time. And trying to switch back and forth constantly, thinking that you're multitasking, is what wears you out mentally. Huh. It's the switching, right, that gets you.
Yeah, it is. It wears you out.
Janine said, I was listening to you guys. I have a half hour commute and I always listen. Your discussion about multitasking being tiring hit home. As a middle school special ed teacher, I thought I was tired because of making constant decisions. Nope. She says, here's a snippet of my typical day. Bell rings, still trying to figure out how to teach this math lesson. Head to monitor hallway. R can't get her locker open. Have to help open and lock. Think that I better get her a pass or she'll be late for class. Get locker open. Head to get pass for R. J can't find his history binder. Find it on the counter in the classroom. Kay asks for a snack. Try to remember if she's had one earlier or not that day. Still heading to get the pass for R. A doesn't like my light covers. G just needs to tell me a funny story. Penn informs me he needs help with math. Finally get to my desk for pass and realize R is in my class this hour anyway. Start to take attendance. It goes on and on and on, guys. All this within less than 10 minutes.
That's incredible.
But I did get a hug in that time.
Oh,
I know, right? Yes. So sweet.
That is
just a little glimpse into a teacher's mind and the switching that constantly happens.
Well, and I've read about that because the brain actually, that's the reason muscle memory is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The brain doesn't want to have to work that hard. It can't work that hard constantly. So that when you do something that's routine, that's the brain's way of coping.
Of giving
it.
You yeah. a break.
Correct.
It freaks me out when I do something that I don't remember doing.
Yes.
Like an autopilot.
Yeah, right. It's like, I poured that cup of coffee? I must have poured it because I'm drinking it.
Yeah.
Right. Janine, thank you for that beautiful glimpse into your day. We appreciate you so, so much. Send us anything, anytime. You know my coffee mug issue, Murphy, at the house.
Yes. Oh. You want them all to match and you don't want anything that doesn't match
well,
in the cabinet, right?
A couple of special coffee mugs that are miscellaneous or okay. But I like them to match.
Yeah, you're not a collector type, and I used to be a mug collector. But most of them are gone now.
Well, they're in boxes.
Mainly, Sam, because I lost the kitchen battle.
Well, see, I don't like all that mishmash either.
It looks junky.
When your daughter brings you something from the Space Center that has Sam on it,
thank you.
You're going to keep it.
You can't get rid of it.
Right.
Like my Elvis coffee mug that was a gift from my cousin from Graceland. I was drinking out of it this weekend.
I like that one.
I know. It's fun.
It's different.
The problem for me is not you, Murphy, with your old collection of radio mugs.
Thanks for being specific.
Is that Phoebe is like a little you, and all these years of our Phoebe, our youngest, going to estate sales and going to, you know, this and that and the other and traveling. She loves to collect mugs. She brings a mug home every time she goes somewhere, and it's just too much. At one point, I stuck them in a hideaway cabinet, and she started, look, where's my taxi mug? You know, where's my Dolly Parton mug? Where's my cute little, and it was just like, here they are, Phoebe. It's overcrowded with a bunch of mugs that don't match and make my head hurt. But it's her house, too, so she's kept most of her mugs.
She's going to college. There's the first box to go.
Exactly. I did not even realize this. She asked me. So she will be starting college in the fall, and she'll be living in a little apartment with some, you know, well, Taylor's one of her roommates.
Yeah.
She said the other morning, she said, Mom, when I move out, can I take all my mugs? I'm like, please. Yes! I heard Angel.
Already packed for you, Phoebe.
I heard Angel sing. Yeah. I said, please, I want you to take all of them. And then it was so cute, and she laughed at the irony of
weird.
That.
My mom said the same thing when I moved out.
Yeah.
Please take your mugs. I'd gone to the Smithsonian, and I came home with like 10, 10 mugs. Yeah.
She's worrying and thinking about all this stuff now. She's like, do I have to buy new towels, or can I have? I'm like, you can have a lot of your bathroom towels.
Yeah.
You can take. She says, and don't worry, I'll leave the really good ones that match so you can have it the way you want it for guests. She knows me.
She does know you.
Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Brought to you by Indeed.
Some really cool Millie Bobby Brown news. I know you saw it yesterday, Sam. I know you did, gossip girl that you are.
I must have missed it.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Well, I know who she is.
Apparently
Stranger Things.
Is, 11 from Stranger Things. She's been dating John Bon Jovi's son.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. This guy, Jake Bon Jovi is his name. He looks like the perfect combo of his mother and father. They've been dating since 2001. Apparently they're engaged.
2001?
I'm sorry. She's not that old.
I'm sorry, 21.
Oh, okay.
Slip of the tongue. 2021. Yeah. She shared this picture online of them together on the beach. It's a black and white photo, and she's got an engagement ring on. And she quotes this Taylor Swift lyric of from the Lover song, which I love that song. And that I've enjoyed these three summers, but baby, now I want them all, which is a lyric. And so it's like, and a bunch of their friends jumped on social media to congratulate them, and they're not denying that they're engaged.
Wow. Well, congratulations. So she's going to be Millie Bobby Bon Jovi. Am I saying that right?
He's 20, she's 19, and she'll be busy this summer filming the final season of Stranger Things. Came across this, thought we would share it before summer travel really kicks in.
Okay.
Hotel rooms are dirtier than we think or than they look. Before we get to the list of things that might be dirty that you don't think about in a hotel room, I want to say and flip this and shout out to all the people who clean hotel rooms. What a tough job that must be.
Well, that's why I always leave tips.
That would drive me nuts.
I know it is, but you know,
tips like don't forget to catch behind the toilet.
No, I actually leave money
on
the pillow.
Cash. Yeah, we leave cash. And every time I change the sheets, I'm like, ugh, I don't like this. This is a workout.
Yeah.
And they do that all day long and vacuum and clean up and.
I'm a little surprised to hear about dirty hotel rooms, especially in the post-COVID world where cleaning has been everything. You know?
It's true. And so it's not true for every single hotel room, but when you walk into your room that you've booked and everything is shiny and bright and smells good, you don't know who cleaned it, how well they cleaned it. It seems really, really clean. Dirtiest parts of the hotel room. The number one thing we've all heard or thought.
Comforter.
Yes, bedspread and comforter. It is. Beware, they don't get washed very often. I mean, you don't wash yours at home very often either. But
it's part of the reason I gave Murphy that black light flashlight.
Right.
He doesn't remember to bring it when we travel.
Keep forgetting.
Probably a good thing.
Tries to use it at home.
Well, the only time I did bring it on a trip with this, the whole blanket lit up. So it was...
Where did you sleep
that night? Don't ask about what hotel that was. Okay. The other things that you should know about hotels that are not the... that are not the cleanest. Do you want them?
Yeah.
The elevator buttons.
Well, yeah, everybody's touching it.
Everybody's touching it.
Makes sense.
Just like the remote in the room, too, probably.
Yeah, the remote's the other thing.
I use my knuckles on the elevator buttons.
So your knuckles are dirty.
Well, yeah, but I'm less likely to lick my knuckles.
Does it have anything on there about the glasses?
Yeah.
Because I've seen reports on that stuff before, too. They really don't clean the glasses.
Well, they don't take them. They don't take them to the bathroom sink and wash them with soap and water and then let them dry properly.
A little shot of Windex.
Watch out for bed bugs, of course. Light switches, coffee pot, anything sitting on tables or nightstands have germs, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Just realize you're sharing that room with a lot of people with a small, kind of sometimes a small cleaning in between.
Catch up on anything you might miss. It is so easy to do, and it's absolutely free. The Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Included with that is the After the Show podcast every day. And one of our After the Show podcasts from last week, we just got really real about our youngest, Murphy, Phoebe, getting the septum piercing on her 18th birthday. And my first thing was like, wait, are you sure you want that? And she loves it. It makes her feel confident. And as soon as I heard her say that, it was done for me. It was like, okay, great.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's the girl in me. It's the jewelry lover in me that I always notice when she's changed it. I don't know if you notice it, Murph.
Well, I saw the gold one. She'd been wearing the silver one at first.
Yeah. She had to wear the one that she got pierced with for a long time. But
what
now
else can you do with that? I mean, is it just gold, silver? Can you?
I don't know. I think
just
so.
Just curious.
Probably do anything you want with it, depending on what they sell, what's available. But you have to be careful. It needs to be really for sensitive skin. It's in a sensitive area.
Yeah.
Okay, so from our Instagram and Facebook page, Mona says, you've got two beautiful girls. It's great that you allow them to be themselves. I wish I could have been that parent. Aw. You know, every single parent makes mistakes, and you wish you could go back. But it's just part of it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be honest with your kids about, I wish I would have done this. You can kind of be set free from it, I think, if you can say those things.
Yeah.
Terry says, when my daughter talked to me about getting a nose piercing, I asked her to wait a year to see if she still really wanted it. In a year, she got it. Huh. It's very cute. It fits her personality. She puts in a clear plug for work.
Hmm.
She didn't have to do that, but she does it sometimes. We thought it was just a phase. By the way, both your girls are beautiful, and we love the relationship you have with them. Thank you for that, Terry. And April says from our Facebook page, my daughter turned 18 in January and did the exact same thing. She'd already had both sides of her nose pierced.
Yeah.
I didn't care, but told her for the middle, she had to wait until she was of age. Hmm. Her dad wasn't thrilled, but it does fit her personality.
Yeah.
Saying those words again. Besides, if she ever decides to take it out, the scar won't show.
Yeah.
And that's true for a septum piercing. You know?
Mm-hmm. This makes me wonder now. I need to talk to Maddie to see if she's even interested in doing that.
Or you'll just see it one day.
What?
Because she's about to be 18 as well.
June, yeah.
We love hearing from you. Keep it coming anytime. Instagram, Facebook, or you can email us, murphysamandjody.com. The qualities that make up a great friend. We're going to drop three of them on you, but I would like to start by saying that I have such great friends. I can shout out and agree with every one of these. I have the greatest friends in the
world. That's a blessing, you know that? Because not everybody does, you know?
I know it. And it's only a handful of people that I would say are true, real friends. Well, yeah. I don't want to count, but I've got.
You don't want to list names either in case you leave one out.
They know
who
they are.
Why don't you go ahead, start counting? We've got all morning.
Yes.
My real and true good friends know who they are. I feel their support in my life, and I give that support as well.
I know that you're about to get to the qualities of a great friend, but my mom, I remember her telling me as a kid, because I was bummed out, you know, those weird, awkward years in middle school where you suddenly somebody is not your friend that was your friend.
It's horrible.
And that's when your mom explains that. And as you go through your life, you will see you'll keep just a handful of really good friends, and she's been right about that.
It's true.
Your mom also had some salty language. Is that exactly the way she said it?
That was only for the neighborhood bully.
No.
He was not a friend.
Right, exactly. That's how I learned to curse.
From my
That's
mom.
How he learned too. Okay, qualities of a good friend. The top three that really scream at me, and I hope this happens for you. If you're listening and checking off some boxes, they boost you up.
Yep.
They boost you up. They help point out, you know, maybe what you can't see about yourself. I love those moments when a friend will just like hold up a mirror to you and you're like, oh, you're right.
Especially
I do have
moment.
That in my back pocket. So they boost you up. Anything to say about that, Sam? Mm-mm. No? Okay. Number two, the other one that I love, you can be your truest self around them.
Yes.
I think that's the most important one.
It is. Because you need to be with somebody that you're safe with.
Somebody that accepts you whether you're acting goofy or whether you know you're sad and need help or whatever.
The no judgment zone.
That's right. Thanks for making it into a book title for us. But it's true. Who you can be your truest self with, comfortable around no matter what.
Yeah.
And the third thing is they help you feel validated and seen, meaning understood. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you just need somebody to say, yeah, I know. I know how you feel.
Yeah, right. I know how you feel.
Okay, thanks, Sam. You guys know I'm formal dress shopping. Oh, what fun it is. It actually is fun. If you end up liking more than one dress, then you're in that world of, oh, I can't have them all, though.
I didn't see you the whole weekend. Did you find anything?
That's not true. That's not true. Okay, but listen, Murphy. Okay, we were talking about girlfriends, too, qualities of a good friend. I have this friend. Her name is Heather. I have not really hung out with her in 10 years. And honestly, even when we were seeing each other on the regular, I never really even went to girls' night with her or dinner with her. But she posted a picture of herself in a gown months ago, and it was beautiful. And so I'm searching, and I thought, man, I want to know where she got that. So I messaged her, hey, Heather, where did you get that gown that I saw you in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the purple one. And she told me the name of the boutique and all of this.
This old thing.
No, no, no. And then she said, why don't you just come over and try it on, though? You could totally borrow it. And I'm like, what size are you? And she shared. It's like, I should be able to fit into that. She's like, yeah, you're going to rock that. Mm. So she and I work very different schedules. And I haven't seen her in 10 years. She told me that she was going to leave it on the bed, laid out on her bed, and a key under the mat for me to go into her house and look for and try it on.
Wow.
And she told me,
this isn't some sort of trap, huh?
No, but I was like,
I haven't seen Jody since yesterday.
She went dress shopping and...
That's what's funny. This is an unusual situation, and it struck me as unusual. I was like, Heather.
That's very trusting and
it
sweet.
It is.
Yeah.
It gets better
or worse.
Well,
she knows where to find you. So.
She gets better or worse. But she said, oh, and by the way, I have other stuff. Go into my closet and grab anything you want. What?
Wow. You would never tell anybody that.
I don't let
Did you
Taylor
ask her about jewelry while you're at it?
I don't let Taylor and Phoebe into my closet for anything that they want.
Well,
actually, at all. It's like, you need to ask me if you go into my sacred space of my closet.
Wow.
Anyway,
That's
so
nice.
I was heading that direction, and I said, hey, I'm on the way. Are you there yet, or is there a key? She said, I forgot, you know, but I think the back door's unlocked. The dress is on the floor of my closet. I realize that's not romantic, but it's yours and anything else you want. What?
So was the back door unlocked?
Yes.
What are we waiting for?
Her son was home from school. I touched base. I'm like, there's a car here. She's like, oh, my son's home. He's like a senior in high school. So I knock on the door so as not to scare him.
Sure.
And sure enough, the dress was right where she said it was. And she even said, while you're there, grab anything else you want. I did not.
Yeah.
I said, Heather, this doesn't make you uncomfortable? She goes, it doesn't make me uncomfortable. Does it make you uncomfortable? I said, yes!
Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Brought to you by Indeed.
Stranger Things fans, we've got some more Stranger Things news. Not just that they're going to start filming again this summer for the fifth and final season. And you know, we need to re-binge that fourth season because
Yeah, it's kind of lost on me. It was
Yeah.
Oh, Vecna was confusing for you. I got it.
But, yeah. Okay, good. Well, good for you.
I'm sorry you weren't capable of.
Right. I was confused about how Vecna got from the, you know, the lab into the upside down and all that. But I'll get it. No worries.
Well, he was thrust into the upside down.
Oh, okay.
By all 11.
Right. That's right. Okay. Now it's all coming back. The story is this. One of our favorite characters of from the whole Stranger Things universe was Eddie Munson, who was introduced in season 4 unapologetically himself. We all knew that kid.
Oh, yeah.
He was so great.
The metalhead kind of dude who was
hair alone. Yeah. It's like,
yeah. But he also showed such vulnerability. I'm sorry. He was fabulous. And everybody wanted more of him. And I'm not going to say anything else about it. But the word is he's getting an origin story. It's a book. It's being written first. But that means promise. That means that Netflix will talk about and look at making it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Eddie Munson origin story, if you couldn't get enough of Eddie, is coming.
Oh, not even Billy got his own book.
I would have bought that one. AI is everywhere. It's funny. It's one of Murphy's favorite things to point out. Like if we start talking about stuff and he's like, oh, that's already AI. Did you know that's AI? It's like, I didn't think about that, but you're right. It's already there.
It's freaky. Well, a lot of it's already been built in. I think it's just more at the forefront now because there's so many different things. The video part and the photo part of AI and that's the creation the thinking and all, that's all newer than Alexa. I mean,
it's
Alexa
making
was
it hard to distinguish between reality.
I don't like that. And that's why those tech giants, including Elon Musk, are like, whoa, let's not change the human experience. But it's that interesting fine line we're going to be watching for the next several years of how to use it for our greater good, but not have it abused or, you know, to our detriment, I guess. And it's how you see the world. Like, because the first time I was typing something and it finished the sentence for me, I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Help. Fine. Great. Then in the same room, someone that we were working with saw that and he thought it was the creepiest thing in the world. And he was like offended. So it depends on your point of view.
Yeah.
How you feel about AI.
Yeah.
But there are jobs being, you know, taken by AI, and one of them comes from an unusual place, and that's Levi's. The jeans people. They're going to start using AI-generated models. They haven't replaced their humans yet, but they're going to. If you are like, and they apparently have some sort of tool, and if you want to see you're this waist size, but you're this height, and you want to see that, what it looks like on the body, they have a tool that they're going to let you put that in.
Well, that's cool.
And it's an AI model who can go, this is what this will look like on you. Instead of, so that's cool. And I would think that would help you as a consumer shop for Levi's jeans.
Yeah, it would.
So that's kind of cool. It's not that they're replacing models in their ad campaigns. I think that they're still looking for diversity in their models for ad campaigns, as they should. But that's just one of the many ways that AI, I guess, can help a consumer in business.
So really, it's only the mannequins that are going to get replaced.
And then the next step will be that you can upload a picture of yourself, and it'll turn you into the AI wearing those jeans.
Yes.
So you can see how they look exactly on you.
Right, exactly. Not just the... Because I think that already exists sort of in the salon world where you can put a picture of your face and see yourself with different hairstyles, but it's not as good as AI.
Not in the gene world.